Good morning, good morning, good morning. Everybody feeling good? I want to thank Jeff, Amber, and Christine for leading worship for us today. They did a great job. And I want to thank you for being in church today. And so appreciate you being here. This is our third service. We always have a service on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. If there's ever a time where you can't get to church on a Sunday, you can always join us on Saturday night. And it really is one of our best services of the weekend. And then we have a 9 o'clock service. And then all of you that need extra coffee, you come at 11 o'clock today. So thank you for being here. This week, it's kind of a, you know, just a season where a lot of people, children, young people are graduating. And Heritage Christian School graduated, and their services were held here in the auditorium on Thursday. And I want to thank the Lord for all the students here. They these are some of the best children in this whole city that go to that school, and we're honored that all of them were able to graduate. And whether you just got out of college or high school, or you were in kindergarten and you got to graduate to first grade, we appreciate all of our graduates in our church, and God bless you for your work. It's been a tough time for young people to learn. Many of them, you know, online and not being able to meet in person. It's been a tough time for them. So congratulations to those of you who graduated. Next weekend is Father's Day, and no one ever claps for Father's Day. It's really sad. It's sad. If I say next weekend is Mother's Day, Father's Day, crickets, nothing. But dads, I hope you know that God has placed upon you as a man, as a father, that he's placed upon you the mantle of spiritual leadership in that home. And there is no place better for you to be next weekend than to be in church with your family. So I hope you'll be here. A couple of things about next weekend. One is we're going to do a sock drive. Now, Mother's Day, we did a diaper drive, and we had you people turned in over 60,000 diapers. And as my daughter said, that would last her about a week. But socks, we're going to do socks on Father's Day because socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters. And so we have joined together with Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission here in the San Fernando Valley. And we just want to give them all kinds of socks. Now, do not bring used socks next weekend, all right? Well, we want you to get new socks and come and drop those off, and we're going to bless the homeless shelter and the people who walk through those doors. Amen? And we have a guest next weekend, Daryl Strawberry, who played baseball for the New York Mets, the hated New York Yankees. And I need to talk to the ushers about not letting people in here with New York Yankee hats. But anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. He played for the Dodgers. But if you know anything about Daryl Strawberry, and he has preached for us before, but he was the poster child for someone who was living a life of sin and rebellion, drugs, and almost cost him his life on many, many occasions. One of those people you think God could never save, someone like that. He had the fame, the fortune, he had everything. And yet his life was in disarray. And yet God got a hold of Daryl and saved him. And today he is one of the most gifted and anointed communicators of the gospel and love of Jesus Christ. And he's going to be here next weekend. And you will be blessed. Today, we're going to have a little heart-to-heart talk about a lot of different things. And I want you to grab inside your bulletin, there's a sermon outline. We're in a series called Freedom. Last weekend, we looked at freedom from anger. And today, I want to look at this topic, freedom from debt. I've got a list of things that some of you are going to, as we head into it, you're going to think, well, that doesn't really apply to me. I want you to know that every point that I make today applies to every single person in this room. And I hope you'll stay with us and pay attention and take notes. And let me pray before we dive into this list. of things that we need to be free from. Number one, God, let's pray. God, we ask today that you would open up our hearts. Thank you for the time of worship. Thank you for these gifted people to lead us to a time of praise. And thank you for an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper, which we do every week here. And now as we open up the Word of God and look at different verses and look at this topic of being set free from things that we are in bondage to, God, I ask that you would speak to every heart, help us to hear what you want us to hear. Be with the speaker, be with every listener, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Number one on our list, I've got four things. Number one, every one of us have a debt of freedom. A debt of freedom. And it's a debt that we should honor. 2 weeks ago, just 2 weeks ago, was Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend is dedicated to the men and women who've paid the ultimate sacrifice. A lot of people see Memorial Day weekend just as a weekend to have a picnic. But it's really a sacred time, each of us, to consider where our freedoms come from and what do our freedoms mean to us. To remember, to reflect, to be thankful to those who gave up their life for our freedoms. In the course of American history, which we'll talk more about in 3 weeks when we wrap up this series on freedom, on 4th of July weekend, 3 weeks away, and I think July 4th is a Sunday, and so that night we're actually going to be shooting off our fireworks as we've done for the past many, many years, except last year because of COVID. But in the course of American history, every time I see our flag, I think of the 7,000 plus men and women who have died the last 20 years fighting what we call the War on Terror. Many of these soldiers died on the sands of Iraq and Afghanistan. I think of the 25,000 soldiers who died in the American Revolutionary War in the year 1775. I think of the 36,000 soldiers that died in the Korean War in the year 1950. The 58,000 soldiers who died in Vietnam, 1965 to 1973. I think of the 116,000 soldiers that died in World War I in the year 1917, 1918. Then, of course, I think of the 405,000 soldiers that died in World War II from 1939 to 1945. And, of course, I have to remember the 620,000 soldiers who died on American soil in a war called the Civil War from 1861 to 1865. Every time I see the flag, I think of the million plus soldiers who died simply so that I can choose where I want to live and choose what school I want to attend and choose what food that I want to eat, and choose what clothes I want to wear, and choose what faith I want to believe, and choose what friends I want to keep, and to choose what car I want to drive, and to choose what books I want to read, and to choose what national park I'd like to visit, and to choose what hobby I'd like to enjoy, and to choose what job I'd like to perform, to enjoy the things that I enjoy. Those are called freedoms. And we have a debt to each and every person who fought for the freedoms that we hold dear in the United States of America. Every one of us, if you live in this country, even with our imperfections, and every nation has imperfections, there is no perfect nation, we should be thankful, we should be grateful, and we should never take our freedoms for granted. Did you know that all freedoms ultimately come from God? Freedom was not something that the United States of America discovered or came up with. All freedoms come from your Creator God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God put Adam and Eve, the first two people on the face of this planet, and gave them absolute freedom. He was the one that gave them freedom. Said, you can do whatever you want, go wherever you want, I'll let you call the animals. Adam and Eve got to name all the animals. You can call them whatever you want to call them. They could have called the elephant ant and the ant the elephant, but they chose to call the elephant and the ant the ant. And then he said, you can choose either to obey me or not to obey me. It's your choice. I give you freedom to choose. Of course, they chose poorly. And then God allowed us, every single person, if you're here today, God graced you to live in a country that has freedom. The freedom to come to church without the fear of persecution. Not one of you thought, if I go to church today, that the government might arrest me and throw me in jail. You have the freedom to carry your Bible. You have the freedom to pray in public. You have the freedom to witness and to share your faith. You have the freedom to worship as we have worshiped today. There are countries all over the world today where those things are illegal. You can be jailed for just simply worshiping or carrying a Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2:16 says, we need to live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. We have a debt for our freedoms that we hold dear in this country. Number two, write this down. We all have what's called the debt of life. The debt of life that we all owe. I will explain this to you. If you're alive, how many of you are breathing right now? You're alive, you're alive. You have a family, you have a job. You have a mind, you have a heart, you have an existence of some kind. If you're here today and you're alive, it's not because of you and your abilities. It's because there have been many people that have helped you get here today. First is God Himself, your Creator. You wouldn't even be here if God hadn't created you. You wouldn't be here. The Bible says that God knit you together inside your mother's womb. Yeah, I mean, you have nothing to do with who you are. God was the one who put you together. He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. He's the one that keeps your heart beating. He's the one that provides for your every need. He's the one that created you and sustains you. And then each of us, we have parents. You didn't get here by yourself. Every single person in this room is here because somewhere in the past, you had a dad, you had a mom who got together. And bingo, there you are. You had nothing to do with it. Even if you don't know who your parents are, which is true for many people, they were given up for adoption at 2 or 3 weeks of age, and they don't even know who their mom or dad, you still have a debt to them. You wouldn't be here without them. And even if you know who your parents are and you don't like them, which is sadly the case for some, you wouldn't be here without them. And we've all had parents or school teachers or coaches or friends who have mentored us, and peers who've walked beside us, and neighbors and volunteers and local community centers and schools and after-school clubs and churches and youth ministries. And then there are scholars, I mean like really smart people from years ago who took the Bible that originally was written in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, and they translated it into English just so you could read it. We have a debt to those people. We have a debt to the believers throughout the centuries. For 2,000 years, think about this. For 2,000 years, there have been Christians and believers who have handed down from one generation to the next generation the story of Jesus Christ. And one day it came to you and you accepted Jesus as your Lord. We have a debt to all those people in generations gone by. And then there's engineers and inventors and builders and scientists who have developed roadways and airplanes and cell phones and microwaves and indoor toilets. Praise God for indoor toilets. Well, who came up with that? I have no idea. I just love that person, though, whoever they are. We owe a debt to the farmers who grow your food. You have a debt to the doctors and nurses who watch over your health. You have a debt to the dentist who protect or take care of your teeth. You have an honor, a debt to pay to firefighters and police officers who protect your city and judges and lawyers who defend your rights. To barbers who cut your hair if you have hair. The point is, if you're alive here today, it's because of people who've gone before you, most of whom you have no idea who they even were. But you wouldn't be here without them. It's interesting what Paul writes in Romans chapter 13. Look at this verse. It's a great verse, Romans 13. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says these words in Romans 13, 7. He said, hey, give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay your taxes. If you owe rent, pay your rent. If you owe respect, pay your respect. If you owe honor, Paul writes, then give honor. The very next verse, he says these words, let no debt remain outstanding. In other words, make sure you always pay all of your debts. Except he said there's this one debt that you perpetually have. You'll never be able to pay off this debt. And what is that one debt? To simply love one another. I want you to write that down. The debt of life, this debt that we owe, is a debt to love one another. Oh, it's a lesson for us to learn here today that your life is so much more than just you. That you owe so much to so many people who've gone before you, that the only possible way you could ever pay that off is just simply to love one another. Let's say you're here today and everything's good in your life and, you know, we're supposed to love everybody. Yeah, but you've kind of bought into culture that there are certain people in our society and they're categorized and we lump everybody into one group of people sometimes based on the color of their skin. And we love everybody, but we don't like this one segment of people. And so you live your life harboring ill will against people. And one day you get a test result that says you have a terminal sickness. And so you run to a hospital. And you run through the doors of that hospital and you only have one request. And the one request is save me, help me, heal me. You walk into a hospital that you don't realize that for generation upon generation upon generation, that knowledge has been passed down, technology has been passed down, inventions have been passed down, monies have been raised to produce that hospital, to run that hospital. You don't care about any of that. You just want to be made whole. You walk in there with that one thought to heal me, save me. I guarantee you that there are people in centuries or generations past that are responsible for that hospital. That a lot of those people, they think like you, they believe like you, they behave like you, but there's a lot of people that don't act like you, that don't believe like you, that don't behave like you, that think 100% opposite of you, that were responsible for that hospital even being there. You don't care about that. You just went in there to want to be saved. And I'm saying to you, the only reason you are blessed and you've received a benefit, your life, your education, your faith, your house, your car, your city, your hospitals, your school, your church is a result of people you don't even know from generations past who've handed down from one generation to the next. It's a debt that you owe. It's a debt that I owe. Paul says in regards to anything in this life, you should know anything to anyone except the debt of love. If you have a rent, pay your rent. You should not owe back pay to your employees. You should not owe back taxes to your government. You should give your honor to your soldiers. You should give those favors to your friends. Pay every debt you have except the one debt that you will always have, and that debt is to love one another. All of life, everything in life flows from God and flows from the people that God has created. I could trace, if God was here with me, he could help me. I could trace every single person in this room, your ancestry, back to Adam and Eve. Every one of you. All of us come from Adam and Eve. We are a part of one race, the human race. One. I know you look different. I'm glad you look different. He created us differently, but we're all one family. And if I took your life and I had ancestry.com and times 10, and we could truly trace your ancestry back to Adam and Eve, you would discover you've got a lot of great, amazing ancestors in your background. But you would also discover you've got some very crooked and evil ancestors in your background. And so we just need to understand that our only task is to love our God Creator and to love one another. It's a debt we must pay. Number three is the debt of finances. The debt of finances, a debt to pay. Most of us here are in some type of financial bondage. I'd be hard-pressed to find someone here that didn't have debt. Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower, that would be you, is servant to the lender. The one who borrows, the one who is in debt, financial debt, becomes a slave to the one who loaned the money. There's many reasons for that. One is just peer pressure, trying to keep up with the Joneses. It's not because we have to have these things, it's because our neighbor has them. And then we have Hollywood and the media that produces 7,000 commercials every day. Hollywood hires the best actors, the best writers, and the best producers with one goal in mind, and that's to create discontent in you. To make you say, oh, I have to have that. I need that. My life is incomplete without that. Anything from Gorilla Glue to Fruit Loops. From an iPhone to a Big Mac. And then we have another reason why we're in debt is this thing called plastics, or what's called credit cards. Don't you love credit cards? They just mail them to you. And they're painless. You go buy anything you want and just swipe it and it's yours. Until what? Until you get the bill later. And then it hurts. This is a true story. My wife is here. She'll vouch for this. Last week, she lost her credit card. And she called me. And I was like, where was the last place you used it? And she goes so many places, she couldn't remember. And then she said, honey, this is true. She said, should I call the credit card company and cancel? I said, no. She said, why not? I said, because whoever finds your card cannot possibly spend as much money as you spend on that card. Now, I said that. My wife is extremely, extremely frugal. But I will tell you that as a church, individually, we are up to our eyeballs in credit card debt. I think the average credit card debt now is like $8,000 per person. Let's say we have 6,000 people in church. You do the math sometime. Multiply 6,000 people times $8,000 and see how much credit card debt this church has alone. And so we have all these reasons, but Jesus said this about money. Look at these words. Now, these are his words in Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And then Jesus said these words, you cannot serve both God and money. I personally believe that we are a nation of slaves. I want to say that again. We are a nation of slaves. Slaves to money. Because America no longer serves God. America is a servant to money and material possessions. As a nation, we are in bondage. And it's a curse. I want to show you, this is happening right now while you're sitting here in church. This is a website you can go to. It's called U.S. Debt Clock. And it just goes like this 24 hours a day. And while you're just doing whatever you're doing, as a nation, we're going further and further in debt. I've got one of these little highlight pointer things. Cats love these things. But go right up here. I want you to look right up here. The U.S. national debt is 28, that's trillion. Everybody say trillion. Now, do you know the difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion? Do you know the difference? Well, in time, if we did it in seconds, a million seconds, a billion seconds, a trillion seconds, just to give you a perspective. 1 million seconds is about 12 days. So if you said, hey, pastor, can you come over and mow my yard? And I said, hey, I'll do that in a million seconds. What I'm telling you, I'll get around to that in the next couple of weeks. If you want to know what a billion seconds, how long a billion seconds? 32 years. Say, pastor, come mow my yard. I say, I'll get to that in about a billion seconds. That means in about 30 years, I might come over and mow that yard of yours. Do you know what a trillion seconds is? 32,000 years. And the government just hands out a trillion here, a trillion here, a trillion here. And it's your money. Government doesn't have any money. They're giving out your money. Look at this number right up here on the screen. This is 28 trillion. That works out to $85,000 per citizen. How many of you are a citizen of the United States? So you owe the government $85,000. Now, that's per citizen. You know, most citizens don't pay taxes. How many of you pay taxes? So you pay the taxes. So $28 trillion per taxpayer, you don't owe $85. If you're a tax-paying citizen, you owe $226,000. And that number, $28 trillion, is the number that CNN uses. It's a number that Fox News uses. It's a number that politicians use. We don't owe $28 trillion. You've got to come down here. Here's the real, this is unfunded debt and interest that we owe. The United States total debt is actually $86 trillion. And last night in church, we were looking at this. I said, who knows, by tomorrow morning, it'll be $87 trillion. And we're almost there, probably by the time I'm done preaching. Take that off of there. So the government, says, we're going to give everybody $600 because of COVID. And many of us go, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to get $600 from the government. It's your own money. Wake up. They take it from you, spend it on a million things, and they tell you they're going to give you $600, and you go, oh, I'm going to get $600 from the government. That whole thing's going to blow up one day. It's all going to blow up one day. What's the solution? Well, look at this verse in Psalms 37. Look at these words. The wicked borrow and do not repay. Now, the righteous get to give what? How's that possible? Well, what that verse, if you look at that verse, just leave it up there. What that verse is basically saying that if you borrow money from somebody and you don't pay him back, you're basically a wicked person. You're a thief and a liar, and your word is no good. Righteous people, the suggestion is, that righteous people get to give, but the suggestion there is that righteous people don't have debt. They pay their debts, therefore they're able to give generously because they owe no debt. So how are we going to get out of debt? Four things quickly, and I'm out of time, and because I came here to talk about point four. Number one, you got to act your wage. You got to act your wage. And that line comes from Dave Ramsey. That's not my line. Dave Ramsey says you got to act your wage. What does that mean? That means you have to live within your means. You cannot keep borrowing money that you cannot pay. You just can't do it. Number two, write this down. You got to put God first. And oh, I'd like to preach a whole sermon on that. But everything you have was given to you by God. You are simply a steward. Some of you he gave a little. Some of you he gave you this much. Some of you he gave a lot. But whatever God put in your hands, you are a steward of that. You're to use that as he would have you to use it. And it starts with putting God first in your heart, first in your life, first in your home, first in your relationships, first in your marriage, first in everything. Just put God first, and put God first in your finances, first and foremost. Number three, write this down quickly. You're going to have to adjust your lifestyle. You don't have to spend $5 on a specialty coffee at the coffee shop. You'd be shocked. How many of you have a lot of bills? I'm struggling financially, and that same person I see at the coffee shop spending $5 on a cup of coffee. You really don't have that big of a problem. You just have you're like the government. You spend money that you really don't have. You have to adjust your life. You don't have to have Netflix. Where is it in the Bible that says you have to have Netflix? You don't have to have cable. You can mow your own yard. There's a million things you can do to adjust your lifestyle. Number four, write this down. We call it the 10-10-80 rule. The best advice I could ever give you financially. It really is. Since I was 16 years of age, and I'm an old guy. I know I look young. No, that was a joke. I know I look old. Since I was 16, every dollar I've ever made, I've given 10% to God. Took it to church, and put it in the offering plate. Now, we don't even pass an offering here right now, which I hope God doesn't judge me for that. but most people do it online. But since I was 16 years old, I've given God 10 cents on every dollar I've ever made. I've also saved 10%. Imagine being old like me, looking back over your life since you were 16 and having a pool of money that all the money you ever made that you set aside 10% and you just left it there and let it grow in interest and used it as investments and things. Imagine how much money you wouldn't have the problems that you have today had you done that. So I gave the 10% to God, he's a partner with me. We're in partnership. Man, I want God as a partner. And then I've saved 10% for a rainy day. And then I've learned how to live on 80%. You say, how is that possible? I've done that since I was 16 years of age. You say, well, I've never done that. Well, you need to learn to start today. Give God 10%, save 10%, and live off the 80. Adjust your lifestyle. Start paying off your debts and see what happens in your life. You'll get out from underneath that debt that you're living under. Number four, as we close, write this down. Every one of us have a debt of sin. A debt of sin. This is the greatest debt you have. This is greater than your freedom debt. It's greater than your life debt. And it is greater than your financial debt. It's the debt of sin. Quickly, a few verses. Number one, the Bible says that all have sinned. I want you to say, all have sinned. Every person in this room, look around. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Your pastor is a sinner. You are a sinner. That person next to you is a sinner. The person in front of you is a sinner. The person behind you is a sinner. This is a room full of sinners. Now, we want to do right. We don't really want to sin. I mean, we struggle. That's why we're in church, is we want to do what's right, but we're of the flesh. We sin. But we've all sinned. We've all disobeyed God. And oh, that's one of the most important lessons that you will ever learn in life, is that when you sin, whatever the sin is, all sin is against God. Because God is holy. God is true. When Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, they weren't just sinning to each other. They were sinning against God, because God told them, don't eat of the fruit. So when we sin against God, and we've all done it. So we're all guilty. Romans 6:23, the next verse says that the wages of sin, the penalty, the result, the consequences of our sin is death. You see this old physical body? Sin destroys this physical body, and sin destroys us spiritually. It separates us from God. Go read the story of Adam and Eve. They were in a place called paradise. It was perfect. And after they sinned, God kicked them out of that paradise. Sin separates us from God. But two more verses, and I'll pray and get us out of here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, pay attention. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree. The tree, what is the tree? The tree is the cross. The Bible says we've all sinned. The consequences of that sin is death. But on the tree, Jesus took our sins upon himself as he hung on that cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. The last verse is 1 John 2:2. Everybody say 1 John 2:2. Let me hear it. 1 John what? 2:2. I want you to remember 1 John 2:2. It says, he, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the entire world. He died upon that cross. He took every sin that I had ever committed and every sin I ever will commit. And he paid the penalty, not just for me, not just for you, but for every single person on this planet. He was the atoning sacrifice. It's a debt that we owe, but he paid. Let's stand and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh, Father God, we are so spoiled. And we really are. I hear this from time to time, but it's true. We've raised a generation of people who feel entitled. Like everybody in the world owes us. The world doesn't owe us anything. We're the ones that owe the world. Men and women who fought and died so that we could even walk in here today. The freedoms that we have. The debt that we owe to people in generations past. Our life, our heritage. And then financially, God, I'm telling you, God, we are in bondage here today. We got to get back to putting you first and setting aside that tithe for you, that saving of that 10%, and then learning to live within our means with your blessing. And then we have this debt of sin that we have all fallen short and live under the curse of Adam. And yet, because of your love for us, you sent Jesus to die on that cross to take the sins of the entire world upon him so that we can walk in freedom, freedom from our sin, freedom from the weight of sin, freedom from the guilt of sin. It's gone because Jesus bore our sins on the tree. So God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for paying that debt. And Lord, if there is anybody here today, anyone watching, anyone listening, that they've never given their life to Jesus and they live every day feeling the weight of sin and feeling the guilt of sin, Lord, help them to come today. Walk through these doors over here by the baptistry and surrender their life to you, a God of love and a God of grace, who willingly, and lovingly bore our sin upon that cross. Thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you and amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming to church. Next weekend, don't forget the socks. And bring Dad with you.